Thank you, Anna Marie. One of the things I think I need to do is get my jacket off because I think I'm going to get pretty warm here. And so if you just excuse me, I'm going to take my jacket off. Good morning, church. Welcome to a new day, and it's so wonderful to hear the praises of God's people rising up. I find that it's very important for me not to get too verbose or too wordy, in other words, because I could go on and on and on. I promise you, it could happen. Because that's what preachers do. So I have to remind myself that there's a discipline. I also remind myself that there's a little sheet at the front of the church that tells me how much time I've got to speak. Very, very important to know that. Now, talking about Afrikaans, je moet baie voorzichtig wees. Now there I spoke more than five words. I understand enough Afrikaans to just be a biki gevaarlik. Anyway. People say, but how do you get a name like De Vries? How do you get that kind of a name with this kind of an accent? I can't help it. I'm a first-generation American. That's just the facts of life. I was born in the USA, born and bred, but I've lived 34 years in the Republic of South Africa. And Mayfro say is a van Heerden. And says, baie mooi. You can stand and let's see her. She doesn't want to stand. I think I better put my glasses on because I can't see the Bible. Anyway, there was something in the song that was being sung a few moments ago about moving, that we are about moving on or moving in God and what have you, but there was something there about how we want to yearn for you. You know what? God yearns for us more than we yearn for him. Did you hear that? Yearns for us more than we'll ever yearn for him. There's so much more that God has in store for us, and that his heart for us is far and above anything that you and I could ever, ever imagine. I've walked in this good way of the Lord for many, many years. Not always was it walking implicitly and explicitly in the footsteps of Jesus. But when I wasn't walking in the footsteps of Jesus, I can assure you, it just made me realize more and more how much I need to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. And there's no better way. Can I tell you? There is no better way. There's no higher way. But there's something about this whole theme of holiness, which I really want to get into, because the Bible says in Leviticus chapter 19, I think it's up there, the passage in Scripture is Leviticus chapter 19, and it just says this, be ye holy, because I, the Lord, your God, am holy. Now, can I tell you something about holy? You will never be as holy as God. Did anybody hear what I just said? You will never be as holy as God. But there is that yearning to be holy. There is that cry for holy. When I look at Hebrews chapter 11, I get really encouraged when I see what's sitting there with all of those people that were gathered together. And the Bible says these were people that walked in faith. But many of them were liars, cheats, prostitutes, you name it. But what was the common thing that they had between them? They desired God. They desired God. There was something there that transformed them, that built them and caused them to have a yearning for more, that God would bring them into something more. We buried my wife's cousin yesterday in Hermanas. And, or not buried, but he was actually, the memorial service was yesterday. And the one thing I said to his daughter after the service was over, there was one thing about Andre that you could say about him is that he was never, let's put it this way, enough was never enough. Never enough with him. He always wanted more. There was always something more that he wanted. There's something about holiness that has that same kind of a connotation. So when we look at this passage, I want us to also go over to Isaiah for a moment, because there's a passage over there that I want us to get a little bit of a squiz at. In Isaiah chapter 19, and verse 23, it says, "In that day there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria. The Assyrians will go to Egypt, the Egyptians to Assyria. The Egyptians and Assyrians will worship together." Capture that, beloved. "Will worship together." It's never happened prophetically where Egyptians and Assyrians worship together. However, look a little further. It says in verse 23, "The Lord Almighty will bless him, saying, 'Blessed be Egypt, my people, Assyria, my handiwork, and Israel, my inheritance.'" Quite a remarkable passage of scripture, you will agree. And then when I go over to Isaiah chapter 35, there's something there which I think is also very significant in Isaiah 35 and verse 8. "And a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness." A highway will be there. It will be called a way of holiness. Halach, halach, halach. Holy is the Lord. Mighty is his name. King of heaven, yet down to earth he came. God's doing something holy in the nations, but he's exposing the corruption before the holiness is accepted. Hear this, folks. God is doing something holy in the nations, but he's exposing the corruption before the holiness is accepted. Whew. You know, when that hit me at 12:30 last night, I couldn't sleep. God's getting ready to do a holy work, but all the stuff that the world is capable of has got to be exposed. It's not pretty. It's not nice. So when I look at all the nasty stuff that's sitting out there, I've got to start looking at something else, because the work of the Holy Spirit is a very significant work. The primary work of the Holy Spirit is to do three things. Number one, to make me squirm. Convict. Amen? That's number one. Number two, it is to comfort. There's an affliction that's going on, and God brings a comfort in the midst of it through his Holy Spirit. Number three, to encourage those who are fallen to get back up. Anybody know anything about fallen nature? Anybody know something about falling down on the ground and getting your, whatever, I know about that. But I also know that this poor man cried. As we go through the message today, we're going to see something about holiness, which I think is extremely critical for us to understand. See, the purpose here today, and our intention, is to erase the antagonism towards holiness and replace it with affection for holiness. I was raised in an atmosphere where holiness was emphasized. Frankly, it kind of turned me off as I grew up, because there was a whole bunch of don't do this and don't do that. So I learned that the more people said don't do it, I did it. You give a bunch of rules and regulations, what's going to happen? People are going to say, what am I missing out on? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. I want to find out. There's that curious nature in mankind that says, I'm going to delve into the unknown. And we do that sometimes. And God in his mercy turns around and he kind of says, all right, just go on. And eventually we wake up. We wake up to what it's like to walk in the light of our own eyes. Oh, man. And then when the light comes, it is a very harrowing experience to begin to see all that deep stuff that we've stored up inside, and we've just kept it going on and on, and we've rationalized it. We've tried to make excuses for it, and God says, your flesh is not going to be able to take this for much longer. You've got to understand that there's something that God is working with us about. So if we're going to squirm here a little bit this morning, I'm not going to be too worried about it, because I do a lot of squirming. In fact, I did some squirming this morning. I was convicted inside of me this very morning when I went to print out this sheet. The computer was not working properly. What was I experiencing in my heart of hearts? Come on, let me hear it. Come on, say it louder. There's an even stronger word. Thank you very, very much. You see, and I had to say, God, I'm getting ready to preach on holiness. I'm getting so frustrated. I'm getting so, I wish this thing would work properly. Well, that's why I welcome the word repent. I don't have a problem with the word repentance. The very first thing that Jesus came publicly proclaiming was repent. In this world, he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. God so yearns to change us. He so yearns to move us from this world perspective, from this mindset. So, having said all that, you know, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, you are a chosen generation. Can you say that after me? I am a chosen generation. Then say after me these words, I am a holy nation. Say it again. I am a holy nation. I'm part of a holy nation. God says that about me. God says that about you. So we need to get into that kind of a mode where the word of God becomes part of us, and we start confessing that we are a chosen generation, a holy nation, a royal priesthood, that we should show forth the praises of him who loves us. Can the church say, praise the Lord? I didn't hear that. I'm slightly deaf. Can you say it again?
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Now, there's another passage in the scripture where it says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. David prayed that in Psalm chapter 51. He prayed that after he had sinned so spectacularly, after he had broken 5 of the 10 commandments, after the law said, take this guy, get him outside of the camp, and stone him. Get rid of him. And David said, wash me. Wash me thoroughly. Not just outside, but inside. Cleanse me from my sin. Every one of us have something that we deal with. Some of us are blind to it. Some of us don't accept it. Some of us are making excuses for it, but we all have something to contend with. Guess what? God likes it when you contend with it. When you're not going to move around and try to skirt the issue, but confront it. There's one thing about sin. You don't want to move around it. You want to get down to brass tacks, confess it, and remove yourself and put yourself in a place where you become a receptacle for God to go in his power and deliver you from all unrighteousness. And that doesn't come about overnight. We're going to get into that in just a little bit. So if we are going to refer to that which is holy, then we will need to draw reference to he who is holy. Holiness is not just a principle. And we'll get into this in a moment. But as I grew up, I didn't sing this song with any great conviction. But I did when I started making peace with God. How many of you remember the song? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Some of us with this kind of hair remember that. And you know what it said? Lord God Almighty. Early in the morning, our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Wow. Went on and said, holy, 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 all the saints adore thee. Do you sense adoration of Jesus in the church this morning? I do. I feel there's an adoration. I want to really get into that in a moment. It says, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea, cherubim and seraphim falling down before him. I'm not going to go on about that, but I wanted to just give you a couple of quotes. How many have ever heard of Rick Warren? Saddleback Church in California. Rick said this, God does not want you to become a god. He wants you to become godly. Taking on his values, his attitudes, and his character. Now hear this, if you don't catch anything else, catch this. Christ likeness is your eventual destination. But your journey is going to last a lifetime. Be like Jesus, this my song. Be like Jesus in the throng. Be like Jesus all day long. I would be like Jesus. Can you get that in your spirit? Can you get that so deep down inside that you have this yearning to be more like Jesus? Can I tell you something about being more like Jesus? This just hit me now. And I'll say more about it in a bit. But one thing, when you become more like Jesus, you watch what you say. You're very careful about what you say. Because he puts a bit on your tongue. Oftentimes, there are some things that I would like to say. And God tells me very sharply, after many, many decades of dealing with me about this, he'll say two words, shut up. It's one of the most spiritual two words that you'll ever run into. Shut up. If you want to be holy, you'll learn how to shut up in the right places. But you will also learn how to speak up. But you'll do it in the right manner. How many people know who Queen Elizabeth is? Queen Elizabeth, how old is she now? You old, yeah? That's probably about double of what she really is. Now, Queen Elizabeth on her 90th birthday. I was watching a video yesterday when the Queen came walking in. And then this grand choir was there singing this song. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The beauty of holiness. Wow. Oh, worship the Lord. And she came walking in, and this choir was singing this beautiful song. And then it said these words, bow down before him, his glory proclaim with gold of obedience and incense of lowliness. Kneel and adore him. The Lord is his name. Wow. Gold of obedience. Can I tell you something about holiness? It's a lot about the gold of obedience. You want to get into the beauty of God's holiness. And it is beautiful. There's something beautiful about the holiness of God. There's something beautiful about a holy God. Used to scare the living daylights out of me as I grew up. I was afraid of the holiness of God. But one day, the breakthrough came when I began to realize there's a beauty of holiness. Baker's Encyclopedia of the Bible says the primary Old Testament word for holiness means to cut or to separate. Fundamentally, holiness is a cutting off or a separation from what is unclean and a consecration to what is pure. It comes from the Greek word hagios. So having said all that, when we talk about separation, it's not just removing from something, but it's being connected to God. It's being in the beauty of his holiness, where the separation isn't something that, oh, I've got to do this, or I can't do that, or I've got to watch what I'm doing here. But because of your relationship. So, number one, point number one, holiness is about worship. It's about worship. It is because I stand in respect and awe of who God is And not because I want to experience a lekker, lekker leva. It's not just a lekker feeling. Something beautiful about that. I mean, when I hear the way some of these songs are being sung and I see the look of rapture on people's faces, nothing wrong with that whatsoever. But you see, it's more than that. I stand in respect and awe of who God is. And the word worship is such a beautiful word. It's found all the way through Scripture in so many different references. And you see, worship is something more than just being in a place where I go through an act of some kind. It's more than an act. It is a conviction. It is a deepness in God that stands in fear of God, but that fear is not to be afraid of God, because the word fear means that I stand in awe and I stand in respect of who God is. I stand in respect of his nature. And the Bible tells me repeatedly that God is love. The Bible tells me that there are many different phases of what God, or many different names of who God is. And it reflects his nature for all of mankind. So when people say, I don't understand God, it's because you're not seeking enough to get into who God is, because his nature is so plentifully full. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us, how much plainer does it need to get than that? That God, a holy God, understands what we're going through. He understands our deepest plight. He understands our biggest bondages. He understands all the plights that we have to fight and contend with on a daily kind of a basis. You know, with the gold of obedience in the incense of lowliness, we bow before Almighty God. We need to make that a daily exercise. I was saying to Kurt this morning, it's the discipline. It's the discipline. There's that discipline. I need to stand before God, yes. But more importantly, I need to bow before Almighty God. I need to stand in respect of who he does, of who he is and what he does. And I'm turning 71 in a few months from now. I tell you what, I don't moan to God like I used to. You can see a lot of things a lot differently when you begin to accept that the position he wants us in is to be in that lowly place. In your presence, Lord, I seek your face. Down at your feet, O Lord, the Maranatha singers used to sing it, is the most high place. Down at your feet. There's a lot of stuff that happens in our lives that keep us at the feet of Jesus. And even though we don't understand it, we learn to accept it. Holiness is about worship. Don Francisco sang these songs, these words, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of your glory. Holy is the Lord." I love to stand and to bow and worship for Almighty God. Point number two about holiness. Our relationships determine our action. There's a man by the name of Kevin DeYoung. He comes from the Gospel Coalition. And he talks about a deeper mood behind the evidence. And that mood, of course, is about being cool. A lot of people want to be cool in life. And so instead of trying to be real, they try to be cool. And cool is not in. Reality is. You know, our commitment to be cool makes us shrink back from holiness, especially a holiness that includes behavior avoidance. And if the world is going to resist us, that's not cool. But you know what? This whole thing about being cool in this day and age, it's not, what we try to do, we try to be so acceptable. We try to flower this and flower that. But God is in the process of getting down to the root of who we are. And in the process of getting into the roots of who we are, he's got to do some pretty painful stuff. I don't mind it when some of the stuff that has been entrenched in my life for so many years begins to be exorcised and gets out the door and gets cast into the sea of forgetfulness. That's not cool, but it's right. It's right. There's something that has to get down inside of us. You see, he talks about, Kevin once again talked about some of the things that we deal with in life. Like, we don't talk about sexual immorality in the Church of Jesus Christ too much. It's not convenient to talk about it. But beloved, it's real. It's real. There's something there that God comes after us about all the time. And guess what? He is not only desiring to set us free, but he has the power to set us free. Amen. He has the power to come in there and say, let's get this junk out of here. Because it's not only going to be an antagonism to other people, but it's going to be an antagonism to you before it's over with. It's going to become a bondage inside of you. So God wants us to be liberated. It's not cool to go after those kind of things, but it's right to go after those things. You know, the Bible, in a later document that Kevin came out with, he talked about the Bible lays out holiness not as the grounds, but as the goal of our redemption. I'm not saved through holiness. I'm saved through grace. But as I walk in this Christian life, he works out that holiness within me. He begins to say, hey, Philip, that little thing you got going there, I want to get that out of you. And sometimes I go back and I go back and I go back, and sometimes it stays there as a stronghold. And God says, all right, you're going to let it be a stronghold. I'm going to still keep coming after you until such time that you bow your knee and say, enough is enough. I'm not going to put up with this anymore. And there comes out like a holy antagonism inside of your spirit. Be gone out of my life. I want nothing to do with that anymore. There has to come something that says, I am going to block this out. But I can't do it myself. It's got to be the power of God. And his power comes in one day. It's like one prophet went into evangelist James Robeson, mighty man of God, walked into his office one day in God's authority and said, James, he says, God tells me to tell you that you've got a demon of lust sitting inside of you even when you preach. There's something going on inside of you that lusts after women in the congregation. And He looked at this guy. He says, how did you know that? He said, because God showed me. He says, well, what are my staff going to think of? They know that I'm having a lust problem. And he turned around and he just said, oh, it's all right, sir. He says, I've already prayed for all of your staff because of the bondage they've got. And guess what? A few days later, he woke up one morning after this prophet spoke to him and prayed for him. He woke up and he said, the lust was gone. It was out the door. There was nothing left. Ooh, hallelujah. Don't you want to be free? Our relationships determine our actions. So, holiness. I'm going to go on from there to the next point. Holy speech is attractive because it is full of wisdom. Why does the Bible talk about the tongue so much? The Bible says in the book of James, if you can control your tongue, you can control your body. Many, many people don't have a control over their tongue. I've seen tongue wagging going on, whispering, gossiping, opinion making, you name it. There's a lot of stuff where the tongue is out of control. Holiness, can I tell you? Holiness is about having attractive speech. Can I also mention, there's a lot of unclean, foul-mouthed people running all over the place with words coming out of their mouth. Can I tell you, it's time for us to say to people that are going to proliferate their foul language, that we walk up to them and say, cease, poof. Our youngest son, John, my wife and I were on a little trip to Umtata one day. He saw this guy sitting on the side of the road, and he was, what was he doing? He was standing there, just couldn't get this cigarette out of his mouth. He was puffing and puffing and puffing, and my son, John, 2 years old, walks up to him and says, cease, poof. And this guy got such a shock. But the whole point is, when we begin to look at the kind of stuff, and let me tell you something, I've been listening to enough stuff, even when I was overseas, my wife and I just got back on Wednesday from the USA, and I saw enough stuff, the proliferation of anger that's coming from people's mouths inside this country. You and I have got to take a spirit of defiance to whatever the spirit of this country is all about. With this kind of language, this kind of hatred, I put up something on my YouTube channel in the name of Philip DeVries. Can I tell you, don't look at some of the responses that came in there, because some of the language is some of the foulest language you'll ever want to look at. Why? Because people are under conviction. There's something that we need to be careful. I must guard my tongue. Did you hear what I just said? We're living in a time where we need to guard our tongue with all diligence. Because there's some people that are out there, even on the social blogging, and you know what they're doing? They're complicating this issue. All kinds of issues are coming up that are causing hatred. And we saw it as we drove into Cape Town on Friday. We saw the tires burning in Somerset West, and we saw everything. We've seen enough of all of this stuff. You and I need to guard our tongues with all diligence. And the church should be saying amen right now. You know, when David encountered Nabal, He was treated with cruelty by Nabal and sought to seek revenge by slaying his entire household. But Nabal's wife, Abigail, remember that story? Remember the story about Abigail? Remember what she did? She stepped in and reversed the situation with her tongue. And her holiness and purity of heart came through in such a way that it attracted the marriage proposal of David later when Nabal suddenly passed away. Something about that. Okay. Point number four, holiness has taken on Jesus' values, his attitudes, and his character. I'm not a follower of Moses, even though I like Moses. I'm not a follower of Paul, even though I love Paul. I'm a follower of Jesus. And I want his values, his attitudes, his character. That's what holiness is all about. What are Jesus' values? It starts with this main principle: God so loved the world. Come on, come on. God so loved the world. Can you say amen? That's value. Every person is valuable to God. His attitude, he said this: my life is not my own. I lay down my life for my sheep. Can we start adopting that kind of an attitude? My life is not my own. That's Jesus' attitude. My life is not mine to try to accentuate, to try to glorify, to try to lift up into the lights and become famous and all that stuff. No, I lay down my life for my sheep. My sheep know my voice. As far as the character of Jesus is concerned, his character was reflected in this: Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. However, not my will, but yours be done. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. That's a character. I'm going to go all the way, no matter how painful it is. I'm going all the way, the character of Jesus. One final point. Holiness requires taking responsibility for your life and developing accountability structures. I'm going to ask you to do this. God the Holy Spirit tells me to tell you this: forsake, abandon the mindset stating that you cannot help yourself. Get rid of it. Chuck it out. Rebuke, defy this spirit of infirmity, this spirit of weakness. No matter how long it has been a part of your life, abandon it with haste. Move into the next dimension of your life. Get rid of this spirit that says, I can't do anything about my life anymore. Can I tell you something? I have to do it frequently. That spirit of infirmity that's sitting in the world that says, the devil made me do it, or I can't help myself, get rid of it. And here's the other thing. Become part of a group where honesty is prevalent. Don't hang around people that make you dishonest. I've had a lot of friends in my life. I saw a group of business leaders, top business leaders in the city of Pittsburgh, and I watched their accountability every single week. These top business leaders would get together, and they would check each other out to make sure that everybody was walking honestly before God. Accountability structures are so important. I'm going to conclude with this. Holiness allows people to be who they truly are at the deepest level because it comes from the heart. It reveals your authentic self as you live a lifestyle that's aligned with God's will and His original vision for who you really are. The Bible in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21 talks about holy men of God spoke as they were moved upon by the Holy Spirit. Question that we need to ask, how holy were these holy men? They were just like you and I. They were on a journey for more from God, for more from the heart of God. Let's look at our lives. Let's consecrate our lives to His purposes today. If God is convicting you about something, let's just quickly open our eyes or close our eyes right now. And just ask God to do a transformative work in all aspects of life as we know it. If there's been a particular area of your life that God has been speaking into, I'm prepared to say that God the Holy Spirit has already done something so spectacular that the seat where you're sitting at right now has become an altar before God. He sees your heart. He knows your mind. He knows your heart. He knows what's going on. And He's prepared to negotiate all kinds of changes. But you need to get into the discipline that God has in order to hear Him and to be transformed on a progressive basis into His likeness. Let's just pray, shall we, Father? I want to thank You for the exciting and the most challenging theme that we've embarked on here at Shofar in this last month. And I pray that there will be a very, very deep sense of holiness that permeates our beings, that goes into the inner crevices of our hearts. Holy Spirit, I pray that as Your presence is felt in this place, that You will go from person to person, pour in the oil and the wine, the kind that revives the soul. There's somebody bleeding, somebody who's dying in this place. I pray that something so powerful from the love of God will just penetrate into the very core of their existence. Lord, You want to bring us into a place of total freedom. Some of the things that we've been hanging on to, You want to take it out, and we invite You to do that right now. Holy Spirit, move. Move in a powerful way. Move right now into the very core of each tender life that's here represented. I pray that a deep desire for the beauty of Your holiness will become not just something we talk about, but something that we yearn for, something that we're quite prepared to walk in a certain kind of a discipline about. Father, in Jesus' name, bring about that freedom, that life, that awesome sense of who You are as we bow before Your presence and seek You with all of our hearts. We give thanks, we give praise for who You are and for what you're doing in this place today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's just stand up and just raise our hands before God as a symbol of holiness. And simple, a simple gesture of our lives before Him. That arm raised to heaven is a way of saying, Lord, I'm reaching out to you, and I ask you to reach in. And to do that explicit and implicit work inside of my heart so that I can walk with you in a pure manner. I'm not afraid of you. I bow before you in my sinful condition. And in anything that I have committed before you, anything that has been wrong, any mistakes that I've made, any words that I've spoken that were cruel, heartless, any attitude that says, I want nothing to do with anybody other than myself, I repent. Before you, my arms are raised as a symbol of your powerful love to come forth right now into my heart and liberate me for all that you intended for me to become. You're looking for a people. You're looking for us. Let's just put our hands together and let's just give a clap offering before the Lord and just thank Him for His mercy is good. His mercy endures forever. His love is everlasting. Thank you, King Jesus. The Lord our God in the midst of us is mighty. Praise be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.